Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters. We welcome you once again to the PRF table. In case you don't know, this is Dr. Nate Dunlap. And also sitting here at the table, we have a very special, precious young lady with us who's here with us every week at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. We have Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama. Mama, take it away.
Good evening to you, and good evening to my PRF family. Just so glad just that you're here with us one more time. And just want to let you know that we do appreciate your faithfulness and commitment to this show. So that being said, I pass it back over to Nathaniel Dunlap tonight, Junior.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you, Mama, as always, for greeting the people. It's always good when they hear a sweet voice before I get into what I get into. So listen. Tonight here on the PRF table, we are concluding this month's series, which is entitled Prepare for Prosperity or Poverty. We have been grappling and dealing with this theme all month, and it has been a very fruitful, not just conversation, but a very fruitful and enlightening dialogue. A lot of things have come up throughout this month, Mama, and so we can't recap all that has been said, but what we can do is refer you to where you can listen to the previous shows. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, PRF is Possessions, Resources, and Finances. blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. And you will be able to listen to the previous shows, and maybe some of what we're talking about tonight will make a lot more sense to you because you've received more of the foundation of where we're at tonight. And so, one of the things that we've been telling people all month is this: when it comes for when it comes to preparing for prosperity or preparing for poverty, you're either headed in one direction or the other. And what we said was the good news is that there still may be time to get on board. Now listen, Mama, we've been dealing with this all month.
Yes.
We said at the beginning of the month, there still may be time to get on board. Now, here's what you got to know. We ain't got time to play with this thing, Mama.
Yes.
We told you at the beginning of the month that there still may be time to get on board.
Yes.
We're concluding this series tonight. Now, you know, just like others who have been with us over these last almost 5 years now, that if the Spirit of God directs us to talk about a series longer than a month, then we'll do it. And I think you know we've done it for 4, 5, and 6 months sometimes. So, but God is saying we have something else to go to. We have another destination to get to next month. And so before we get into our show, I don't want us to wait until next month or to talk about this. I don't want us to wait until we get into next week. I want y'all to understand where we're going to be. Not just next week, meaning when our October series starts, but I want you to understand what's going on tomorrow. And so tomorrow we have Kimberly Silas, her show, Your Health is Your Wealth. She's going to be on at 2 p.m., which is Friday. The reason she's going to be on at 2 p.m. on tomorrow and is not the first or the third Friday is because during the third Friday of this month, she was still dealing with the after effects of Hurricane Irma. And so tomorrow will be her show at 2 p.m. We know this, again, is not the normal time, but you really want to be present for her show next tomorrow on Friday.
Yes.
Especially with all that we've been dealing with this month. I'm just telling you, what we've been dealing with this month, it works so seamlessly with your health is your wealth. And so then on next month, Mama, next month's series is called Insurance or God's Assurance. Assurance, assurance.
Yes.
That is where God has called us to be next month. Now listen, as we deal with this, you got to know that it has to be God that is having us to talk about this right now. Mama, you know, we don't deal with planning, right? Because we talk about planning and say we don't talk about that until November every year. But for whatever reason, according to God's divine plan, he has placed this in our hearts and we have been obedient to his spirit to deal with planning, to deal with insurance, to deal with being prepared. And so I want everybody to feel welcome on the PRF table. And not only to feel welcome, but I want everybody to feel safe enough to explain certain things, to express certain things when you come onto the PRF table. And so I'm grateful that we have at least three guests that's going to be with us next month. We'll put out their names after tomorrow's show, so you'll be able to see the names of these experts that are in the various spheres of insurance, all men and women of God that will be able to impart something into you. Because Lord knows I've been saying what I've been saying, and the rest of us have been saying what we've been saying. So maybe what we've done was just drop some seed, and now it's time for somebody to water it. But the thing is, if you don't want to be the one who grabs the seed, and you don't want to be the one that grabs the water, then there's nothing that we can do if you don't grow. So with that, if you are listening to us and you want to jump into the conversation, you don't have to wait. We're not going to wait and do like they do at church sometimes during your Bible studies, you know, talk for 55 minutes and give you the last five. No. Press one on your dial pad. We'll bring you into the conversation because there's things that you're experiencing. We know it because we deal with it all the time. There's things that have affected your lives. So we need for you to just feel safe enough here on the PRF table to be able to express what's going on. And sometimes we even have folks that cry on the radio show. You know, too bad Adia is not here tonight because the name may be a little bit different. So during the first couple of shows that we had this month, we just talked from the theme, prepare for prosperity or poverty. We talked to you and we told you that Noah and Jeremiah are screaming from the grave, what will you do the day after tomorrow? Then last week we dealt with Jesus' response to you or to y'all being prepared or not. And we talked from the text where Jesus spoke about the 10 virgins and how 10 of them were prepared and 10 of them was not. And we were just so real with you because our realness came from the realness of the Word of God. And so, Mama, I don't know if you remember, but there was something that Jesus said to them because five were prepared and five were not. And I don't know, I don't want to put you on the spot, Mama, but if you have anything that you wanted to bring to us, anything that sparked into your mind from last week's show, I give the floor to you, Mama. I don't want to overlook you because, you know, sometimes when I get to rolling, it's hard to stop the train.
Oh, that's okay. The thing that stays on that's on my mind is that we have to, in order for us to be prepared, we have to implement the tools that we have learned here and realize that it's not an overnight success. It's going to take time. And we have to have patience with ourselves, and that we can't, to me, can't go back into our past and say, you know, well, I wish I should know. This now is what we have. Now is information that we are receiving. And so now is the time to implement those things that we are being taught. here at the PRF table.
Amen, amen. That's good. If you're listening, what did she say? She gave you two spiritual tools that you can put inside of your tool belt. One was patience, and the other one was implementation. But you got to understand that implementation starts with your mind. So if you don't have it in your mind that you are ready to implement the tools that have been given to you, then what are you going to do? You'll sit there waiting, as the Bible records, the man who was constantly brought to the gate called Beautiful every day during the 38 years of his infirmity. He was brought to the gate. I don't know everything about that man, but I don't know what else he could have done. But there's a lot of situations going on in a lot of your lives, those of you who are listening, that you're not in a paralyzed state.
Yes.
You gotta tell yourself, you know what, enough is enough of this foolishness. I'm tired of being broke. Enough of this foolishness. I'm tired of keep hearing Dr. Dunlap talking about you need to be covered, you need to be covered, you need to be covered. I told y'all my story about salvation. I got tired of my mama talking about it. You know what? Guess what? I got on my knees. I read Romans 10, 9 and 10. I didn't do it when she was saying it. But after a while, something clicked. And so that's our goal. That's our aim. That's our objective, is that something will click. See, you got to understand that there was something that clicked in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit, after it got in those 120, 124 believers that was in that upper room, and when they came out, they were speaking in unknown languages, and then when Peter stood up with the other 11 and started telling them about their history, then something clicked. It was something about their history that clicked, and then they said, brothers, what shall we do? So this is how you get to this place of implementation. You got to be willing to ask the question, what do I need to do? A lot of people already know what they don't have in place, mama, so I don't have to tell you.
Yeah.
What
yes.
you don't have in place, because you already know. I don't have to
that's
tell you.
Right.
But that's not the question. The question is you being the one that says, what do I need to do? If you say, what do I need to do, then that gives me something to work with. I can say, you know what? They're ready to move forward. But if we come on to the PRF table week after week after week, if we come on to Your Health is Your Wealth with Kimberly Silas week after week after week, and you are not responding to what God is saying through these vessels.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I think they got it. So listen, if you're with us, press 1 on your dial pad. If you're listening with us right now, we'll see you on the switchboard. We'll bring you into the conversation. If you're listening to us online through our Facebook page, facebook.com/PRF, and you want to comment or have a question or pose a concern, we'll read it out loud on the air. Let's do it, mama. Let's do
it. All right.
Tonight,
okay.
this is where we're at tonight as we conclude. How long we're going to be, I have no idea. But here's the thought I want everybody to think about. Is your plan God's plan? Is your plan God's plan? Is your plan God's plan? Mama, listen. I saw something from a brother, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take it. And I told him, I said, I'm about to run with this tonight, if you don't mind. I said, but you know, I'm going to go deeper with it. Cause you know, sometimes, you know, you can say certain things and folks say, you changing up what I was trying to say on my Facebook page. And you know, and I'm guilty of that too. You know what? I'm making 1 point. You trying to make five. I don't want people to see 5 points. I want them to see the 1 point. So here's what Bishop Jalen Whittleton said. He's bishop in Columbia, South Carolina. He said, God can take plan B and make it better than plan A would have been.
That's good.
God can take plan B and make it better than plan A would have been. Now I kind of gave him a little warning that I was going to go a little deeper. So I'm not taking anything away from what Bishop Whittleton has said. I want to just go to another place with that. See, there's a lot of people, mama, who are hoping for the plan B because they're not doing the work with plan A.
Wow.
They want plan B to work because they're not fully confident in their plan A. Can I tell you something, Mama? I ain't got a plan A when it comes to a plan B when it comes to salvation. My expectation
right.
is when the skies crack and the trumpet sounds, or if I die before that time, whenever it happens, the plan A is I'm going to live in eternity with the Father, with the God that created all of this fineness, all of this intelligence over here. That's the plan A. I'm going to reign, live with my Father.
Yes.
And get to praise and worship him all day, all night. It ain't going to be no day and night, but forever. That's
yes.
the plan A. I ain't got no plan B in my good Dr. English. Comes to a lot of things, and you shouldn't either. Amen. Y'all shouldn't either.
Amen.
No plan A. Don't let nobody move y'all from your plan A. You save, you're going to heaven. Ain't nobody going to be able to move you from that. But
yes,
when it comes
sir.
To a lot of the things dealing with prosperity and poverty, people have a mindset, Mama, that if this doesn't work, then I'll do this. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have multiple plans, but it means something when you don't have all of the necessary tools in a plan A. Because, see,
right.
if you don't have the things that are necessary in plan A, then what are you going to use in plan B?
Yeah.
Listen, God's plan should be your plan. No ifs, ands, buts about it. God's plan should be your plan. Well, hold on. Somebody said you don't know the mind of God, and God said in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you." And true, nobody's debating that scripture. Now, you walking around saying that the Spirit of the Living God is living with inside of you. I'm talking to my believers right now. So if you don't understand the plans, then maybe that says something about your connection to the plan maker.
Mm.
See, in that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, plans for good and not for evil, to give you hope and expect it in. That's prosperity.
Yes.
But the question becomes, what does prosperity look like for you? If prosperity to you looks like something that you never believed that you can obtain,
yes.
your plan A ain't going to work, your plan B ain't going to work, your plan C ain't going to work, and then you might wind up on the plan D, which would be poverty.
Yes.
The Bible gives us so many different options of being able to live a good life. Think about this. Think about an architect's design, right? The plans that an architect has, right? No builder builds without plans.
Yeah, that's
so if
true.
You are, right? So what does the architectural design look like in your life for prosperity or poverty? It's there for one or the other. You got to have something. You got to have something going on inside of you to be able to say, you know what, this is what I'm working towards. And I'm working towards this because this is the direction that God has led me for me and my family. This is the direction that God has led me for my household.
Yes.
Can you imagine if a child comes to a father and say, "Daddy, just think about this. We're talking about your plans, you know, God, your plan should be God's, God's plan should be your plan. Daddy or Mama."
Yes.
Uh-huh. Where do you think we're going to live in the next 5 years? Where do you think we're going to live in the next 5 years, Mama?
Oh, okay.
I mean, right. Just answer that. Think about a child asking a parent that question. Think about a child in poverty. No. I'm going to get real with this thing.
Okay.
I'm going to get real with this thing. Think about a child right now in Houston. No. I'm going to get real with this thing. Think about a child right now in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Think about a child asking a parent right now, Mama, Daddy, where are we going to get water from? And most of the population can't even find potable water. That's an emergency type of situation. But you know that child doesn't understand all of the aspects of what's needed for the next 7 or 8 months. All the things that the parents have to do over the next 7 to 8 months. But for right now, Mama, they're looking at where are we going to get water from. And they look into that parent to be able to have some type of response. Now, here's what I want everybody to know tonight. You cannot let your children, your children's children, be asking a question that you have no way to respond because you're dead and gone. And they're asking the question. Why didn't Mama do this?
Yes.
Why didn't Daddy do this? Why didn't Grandmama, Granddaddy put this in place? Looking at your first cousins, why did Uncle such and such or Auntie such and such not do this?
Yes.
See, you got to understand that this whole place where we're at right now is a place that God wants us to be. Because truth be told, nobody on the PRF team is sitting here without insurance. But yet we're coming to you talking about it. So this thing is not about us being comfortable with the things that God has afforded us to be able to have. This is about helping you and others to get what is rightfully yours. I'm going into next week's show, but it is as a child of the King. As a child of the Most High God, Mama, these things that we've been talking about, they are rightfully yours because of who your daddy is, who your Father in heaven is. And he is not withholding these things from us. A lot of you listening and a lot of people who are listening who know other folks that should be listening, it's because you haven't gone out there and got it. Or maybe you have not asked the question, where is it? Or maybe Love and Hip Hop was more interesting at 8 o'clock than the PRF table.
Yes. Yes.
Let me deal with this, and I'm in Genesis chapter 6. Let me go back there. I'm about done tonight. Genesis chapter 6. We know the story of Noah. Or we've heard it. You may have heard it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I was looking at was I was thinking about did the word of God come to Noah from God, where God said to Noah, I want you to build a boat for 40 years or for 40 days. I want you to build a boat. Is that what God said to him? Well, let me just tell you. The Bible is very clear that when God told Noah that he was going to cover the earth with a flood. That's clear.
Yes.
It was clear that God said that everything on earth will die. It was clear.
Yes.
It was clear that God said, bring a pair of every animal, male and female, bring them in a boat and keep them alive during the flood. That's clear. It's clear that God said to Noah, be sure to bring enough food for your family. Bring enough food for all the animals on the boat. Those things were clear.
Yes.
But you know what was not clear? How long they were going to be on the boat. It's not there. You're not going to read it in chapter 6. He didn't tell them all that I just said to you, and then he said, you're only going to be on here for a 40 days journey. That's not what he said. Noah was obedient to the part of the plan that God had revealed to him, Mama. And that was to build a boat. And remember I said maybe on week one that I wasn't going to go into chapter 7 because this is how God wanted us to do it. So now I'll hit chapter 7. When chapter 7 starts off, it says, when everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, go into the boat with all your family. From among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous. Take with you 7 pairs, male and female, of each animal I've approved for eating and for sacrifice, and take 1 pair of each of the others. Also take 7 pairs of every kind of bird. There must be a male and female in each pair to ensure that all life will survive on the earth after the flood. And then he says, 7 days from now, I will make it pour down raining on the earth. And it will rain for 40 days and 40 nights until I have wiped the earth, all the living things that I have created off of this earth. Isn't it amazing the obedience of Noah to the plan of God?
Yes.
Before he told them how long? That's interesting. See, what are we talking about tonight? What did I tell you? Whose plan are we dealing with? Is your plan God's plan? Noah's plan was to follow God's plan. God, you tell me to build a boat. You tell me to get all these animals together. You tell me to bring enough food. You tell me to do all. You know what? The Bible's clear. Noah did exactly as God had commanded him to do. And you got to understand that this whole notion about is your plan God's plan is all throughout the Bible. When you follow the plan of God, things worked out the way they were supposed to work out. Most of the time you saw good results when they followed the plan of God. You saw good results when they followed the plan of God. It even goes on to say, again, so Noah did everything as the Lord commanded him to do. Noah was 600 years when a flood covered the earth. He went on board the boat to escape the flood, he and his wife and his sons and their wives. Listen to this. If you go back earlier, what you saw when you go into chapter 6 was when it starts talking about the account of Noah and his family. It said that Noah was righteous, and he was the only blameless person, righteous person living on the earth at that time. He walked in close fellowship with God. He said he was the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We knew he had a wife. Let's not forget this part about relationship.
Yes.
It wasn't just Noah. It was Noah and his wife. And not just Noah and his wife, but Noah and his wife and his 3 sons. But not just Noah and his wife and his 3 sons, but Noah and his wife, his 3 sons, and his daughter-in-laws. Look at the legacy that remains intact only because of Noah's obedience, Mama. Good God Almighty.
Yes, yes, yes.
Only because of his obedience are you able to read about the legacy of Noah. Now, there's something else that goes on along with this. There's a whole bunch of people that had families that was not on the boat.
Yes.
Just was not on the boat. I want everybody to understand that when God is orchestrating things, you're not going to get all of the plans.
Yes.
You don't get all of the plans that God has for you just to make you comfortable. Because truth be told, God has spoken a lot of things to his people already, Mama.
Yes.
And let them see way down the road but yet still people fail to plan. I remember a couple of years ago when gas was like $25 a gallon.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating a little bit. And I mentioned how that was a perfect time for people to save money for those who were able to carpool with each other.
Yes.
And you remember I told you an account about a person in my family that lived close to another family member who I suggested to that family member, listen, y'all work around the corner from each other. Stop complaining about the gas prices and carpool. Guess what, Mama? They did that because the gas at $25 a gallon, exaggeration, was busting everybody over the head for the most part back during that time a couple years ago. So now the issue came. Nobody could see how long gas was going to be that high. God allowed it to happen. But he also had something else going on in there. He was helping people going on a prepare for their prosperity. If they would have just listened to what he was saying, listen to my language. Yes. If they would have listened to what he was saying, you can do better together than you can individually.
Yes.
So guess what happened? As they were going down that road to prepare for prosperity, when God let up off the gas, pun intended, and the gas prices went back down, what did those two family members do? They stopped carpooling together, Mama.
Yes.
They stopped carpooling together because things seemed like they were a little bit easier. But can you imagine if they would have carpooled for the next year? Can you imagine how much money they would have saved over the next year? Can you imagine how much less wear and tear there would have been on each one of their cars if they would have kept doing the same thing for the next year? Can you imagine that if the same thing happened that following year, they could have had the money if one of them would have moved into another job where they couldn't carpool with each other, but now they have that money that's stacked up in the bank because they were able to save over that next previous year? See, if God was to tell us everything, it would be a waste of his breath in many cases. Because just for the simple things of obedience that he needs a lot of people, a lot of you listening to do to prepare for your prosperity, I'm not here to beat you down, but you ain't even doing that. And if you don't do those things, why sit there and cry out to God for the other things? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't be looking for God to add nothing if you ain't seeking him first.
Yeah.
One of the things that I put out there early was, is your plan God's plan, right? And here's what I said also. It's on our flyer for tonight. Choose the boat or choose Babylon. I'm about done. Choose the boat or choose Babylon. Noah chose the boat.
Yes.
Can I tell you what else? Listen to this. I want men to hear this. Men, we are the priest of our homes. I don't care, women, if your husband don't go to church. He's still the priest of your home. I want to hear this crap about, well, if he act like a priest, you married him. Speaking to his life, call him a priest. Because I'm sure sometimes you don't act like a queen. Right? Let's be real with this thing.
Keep
so husband. Yeah. Men, if you have a child, you're the father of that child. Isn't it amazing that with Noah, with his sons being the priest of their homes, right?
Yes.
God didn't speak to them. Listen to this. God did not speak to the head of the household. Noah wasn't the head of Shem's household.
Yes.
Noah wasn't the head of Ham's household.
No.
He wasn't the head of Japheth's household. They were. But isn't it amazing that the one who God spoke to was not the head of the household? See, God's plans oftentimes may not come directly to you.
Yes.
I had a conversation with a pastor the other day. And I'm not here to challenge his thought process. But I was speaking something about God does not always speak to the one who is, quote unquote, in charge. You can't take the scripture and say, if you don't do it, then the rocks will cry out for you. You can't say, if he'll use a donkey, but then say, on the other hand, out the other side of your neck. Not talking about this pastor, but I'm just saying you people in general. You can't stay out the other side of your neck, but he only can speak to me.
Yes.
He only can use me. But he can use a donkey when it comes to your life, but he got to speak to me when it comes to...
Yes.
It doesn't add up, Mama. It doesn't. And so I was making a comment somewhere around... God does not always speak to the head about everything. Doesn't work like that. Can I tell you what his response was, Mama?
Yeah.
And we don't have to agree about it. We don't have to agree. It doesn't matter. We don't have to agree. He lead his church like he wants to lead his church, right? He said that God, even though God may speak to somebody else, he gonna speak to me first, and then when I hear it from you, that's gonna be confirmation to me.
Yes. Yes.
What? No. God will use who he wants to use. See, you gotta understand,
right,
when you're dealing with God's plans, you don't get all of the plans and the designs.
Right.
Can you imagine King Solomon? When David brought the plans to him and said, this is what God wrote with my hand, the plans for the temple. You're going to be the next king. Can you imagine if Solomon would have said, look, Pop, these plans, they look good. I appreciate it. But I'm going to wait on God to do the same thing he did with you and use my hand to write down the plans. Can you imagine? I can't imagine him saying that. What he was following was the Spirit of God. And so if the Spirit of God comes through your father, think about Moses.
Yes.
One of the greatest leadership lessons that we have in the Bible is what Jethro, his father-in-law, said to Moses. And Moses took that advice and went. It had to have been the Spirit of God to flow through Moses, through Jethro, unto Moses. And then it just needed to be where Moses confirmed that was the Spirit of God speaking through Jethro and that he had to implement what was said. And guess what happens? Then you have Moses never dealing with that same issue that he was dealing with before about being run down and tired and wearing down himself and the people.
Amen.
This ain't rocket
Hallelujah.
Science, Mama. Amen. This is not rocket science. So choose the boat or choose Babylon. I'm telling y'all, God has he has in his divine wisdom and his divine plan, he has orchestrated some things regarding PRF for your lives, whether it's coming through PRF or whether it's coming through a member of the team, whether it's coming through the radio show, through our learning sessions, through our legacy conferences, or whether it's coming through a conversation of a person that's on the team, or whether it's coming from some other ministry that is operating with principles similar or identical to PRF. But it's up to you to choose the boat.
Yes.
There's a movie called Rosewood. I said this early on Facebook Live. There's a movie called Rosewood. Mama, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a movie about Rosewood, Florida. And I'm not going to go into all the details of the movie. Go and see it. It's an excellent movie. But there's next. It's back when slavery and the KKK was running rampant in America, right? And so several black people were escaping the bonds of slavery, right? And so they were able to get onto a train. Somebody had some compassion for them to put them on a train, because you know sometimes what happened, you carrying a slave, you know, you taking somebody's property, because you know black folk was property back then. And so, you know, you get dealt with because, you know, that's stealing somebody's property, right? So they're on this train. A lot of them are on this train, and the train is moving. It's moving. And now you had all these people start coming out the woodworks because they hear the train. And there's a couple black persons that was on horses. Never forget this. They were on horses. And they are trying to catch up to the train so they can get on the train, because a train is going to go faster than a horse, right? And the reason they was on the horse, right, because there were some folks, some white folks, some KKK members, they were chasing them. And you can imagine that if they were trying to escape the bonds of slavery and this place of bondage, that when they caught them, then it was not going to be pretty.
No.
Because that was part of their economic system, right? Okay, so the part that I want everybody to focus on is, I'm watching as they're riding these horses, and they're riding them, and they're ha, you know how you watch them, ha, and they're hitting them with that stick, whatever it's called, I don't know the proper name for it, ha, slapping that horse so that horse can go faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
They were trying to catch up to the train because they know there was safety on the train. They know the train, just like the train was faster than their horse, they knew the train was going to be faster than those horses that were behind them with those white men that had guns that was going to try to kill them and or take them back into bondage and or into slavery. So here's what I want y'all to get. I want to just think about that. Think about this metaphorically. When it comes to poverty and prosperity, you have to understand that when the train is moving, just like with Rosewood, that train ain't going to stop for you.
No.
We ain't got time to play with it, Mama. That train is not going to stop for you. Well, Dunlap, I know you all the time. You're talking about community and how we do things together. Absolutely. But here's what you have to understand. Let's ask this question. Why were some people on the train and some people not on the train? What was it? What was the reason why some were on the train and some was not on the train? Was there a good reason why some were on the train and some were not on the train? Was some not on the train because of them, or was it some other extenuating circumstances of why those other ones were not on the train? See, we can't just take this superficial stuff and think that God is going to work through all this superficial stuff because we refuse to get deep or even ask questions or think through things. Talking about planning, which requires us to oftentimes to think. The train's not going to stop for you. The train of poverty is not going to stop for you, nor is the train of prosperity going to stop for you. Can I tell this to my pastor friends? The train of poverty is not going to stop for your church. And there are so many churches that are in poverty right now because the people are in poverty. And it's not going to stop until something different happens. Know this also about the train. Good God. Know this also about the train. Just because the train is moving right now doesn't mean that the train is not ever going to stop at a destination. I used to play with trains when I was a kid. You know, I come in that era. You know, we had trains back then, right? I remember having trains back then, and I remember having my Tyco train set. I remember it like it was yesterday, the one that just went in one circle over and over and over again. The reality was something had to stop, had to happen for that train to stop. And I had the race, not the train also, but I also had the race car. I also, with the race cars, I had the little, it looks like a little gun. And when you press down, that's when the car will move around the track. And then when you let up coming around those curves. It would slow down a little bit. And then when I got tired of playing with it, I let my finger off of it and I would stop. And the car would stop.
Yeah.
It's the same way. Eventually, the train is going to stop. Eventually, the car is going to stop. So here's the thing. If you are not on the train already, you can't give up.
That's it. Yeah.
You got to continue to persevere. Because just because you're not on the train doesn't mean that you will never catch up to the train. See, the enemy would have you believing. The enemy would have you believing that you are never going to get to the place where God will have you. The enemy would have you believing that you're always going to be in poverty. So why? You know, you try one moment. You do something to try to get ahead. You're saving $50 a month. The next thing you know, a flat tire comes and you got to spend that $50. And it's like, why I keep trying? Because you're a child of the King. Because we have enough scriptures within the Word of God that can encourage you to persevere. One example is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what has been promised. So if you are trying to get to that train of prosperity and it looks like you're not going to ever get there, just keep persevering. That train has to stop at some time. And when that train stops, you'll get what is yours, a seat on the train.
Okay.
Romans 8:28. A lot of people have heard this before. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. If God has you on a path to prosperity because you have done the work to start going that direction, the opposite of prosperity is poverty. So there's no way in the world that any of us should be thinking that if I'm not getting to prosperity right now, that God wants me to be in poverty. Mm-mm. No. A lot of y'all have been living by that for way too long. Amen. It's time to get on another train.
Yes.
2 Chronicles 15:7. But as for you, be strong and don't give up, for your work will be rewarded. Can I tell you in that movie, Rosewood? That thing worked out. Everybody may not have got to the train, but that thing worked out. And it's the same just like with Noah. That thing worked out for Noah and his family. So what's your excuse? The first thing you have to do is examine your righteousness. See, God ain't putting any old jackleg joker or jokette on the boat. So you got to understand that the plan and the purpose, remember his purpose, according to his purpose, the purpose for Noah and his family was to replenish the earth. God done wiped out all the rest of them. You got Noah and his wife. Noah was 600 years old when the flood started. I don't think they was going to have no more kids. I'm just saying. I don't think they was going to have no more. But you got his three sons and his three wives. That lets us know, Mama, that the things that God has us on, the places that God is taking us, those things that in the end are going to give glory to God, it starts with somebody.
Yes.
Not only does it start with somebody, but it starts, like you said, somebody having to have some patience. Can you imagine them being on the boat? Right? Now I don't know if Noah told his sons and his wife, I don't know if he told them what God said to him. Right? I don't know if he said that. But can you imagine if he didn't say to them that it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights until everything on this earth is going to be wiped out? Imagine if he did not say that to them.
Okay.
And can you imagine if one of them said, you know what, man, we've been on this boat for 2 weeks. I'm claustrophobic. I can't sit still. Mama,
I know. Yes.
it stinks on the boat with all these animals. I'm homesick. And can you imagine if one of them decided to open up the door to the ark? Can you imagine how that would have messed up the plan of God?
Yes.
So sometimes following the plan of God means you have to follow who God has sent with the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's not always going to be us. Mama, we're going to bring in as evangelist Moore calls him, Pastor Mark, because it's time for Pastor Mark to just drop something on the listeners today. So we're going to bring in Brother Mark to the PRF table. Good evening, good man.
Good evening, brother. Good evening, Dr. Lamb. How you guys doing?
We're well.
Good. I don't have a lot to say, but I wanted to go back to the very beginning when you use the guy's message from Facebook about Plan B to be better than Plan A, and that's all throughout the Bible. We'll start with Jonah. Jonah had a Plan A, which was his plan, but when God gave him Plan B, the Plan B was better than Plan A. Same thing with Paul. Paul had a plan A, his plan. But on the road to Damascus, there came a plan B. So God took plan Bs and made them better than plan As.
Mm-hmm.
And then what he done with the children of Israel, because he gave them a plan A, because he told them, basically, I want to be your God. But they wanted a king. So the question now becomes, what do you do when the one you're serving disagree with the servant? Okay, so God gave them a plan B. I'm going to give you your king. But now your plan A was prosperity. But now I'm going to send you into poverty. Now I'm going to send you into captivity. So he turned around and gave them a plan A. But they wanted a plan B, so he gave it to them. And so, and after the plan B, then it presented the plan A again. Or you can turn around and say he turned around and made the plan B just as good as plan A. So it's all throughout the Word of God where he turned around and gave them, or people had their own. Moses, you know, he ran for 40 years. He had a plan A. But God finally gave him plan B. But at the same time, what he did with Moses, when Moses did turn around and go to plan B, Moses did not do what God told him to do, so he went to option B. Joshua.
See, that's it. I like that, Brother Mark. See, that's the difference. You said it better than I can say it. There's a difference between an option and a plan.
Mm-hmm.
See, I see the plan as I got two sets of designs, which is going to get me. See, if I'm going to build a house, I got to have two sets of designs. I got to have a plan A for a house and a plan B for a house. I'm not going to get to the same destination with both plans all the time. But a lot of times when humans get involved in certain things, like life, I see easily how another option has to be put in there, right? And my thing with the plan Bs, not to disagree, but my thing with the plan Bs so much is that so many people don't hold on and trust God enough with their plan A that they got a plan B because they don't trust God with their plan A. And I'm like, uh-uh. Let's really understand that when God sets a plan in motion, if you just follow that plan, there's no need for a plan B. You got everything you need. But even with let me shut up. Because something interesting came to me because I had to read it. God told Noah that he's going to rain, that he was going to have it rain for 40 days and 40 nights, right?
Mm-hmm.
The plan didn't change. But while they were on a boat, you know what happened? The floodwaters covered the earth for 150 days. I don't see God changing the plan. That was all part of the plan. But that was another one. I like how you say it. You know, it's tomato, tomato, right? But I like how you said that word option. I look at that as that's a whole nother option. The other option to that whole plan is it ain't changing the plan. The option is you got to sit there for longer than you expected. You got to sit there for longer than you expected. But can you imagine if he would have told him up front, it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And then once you get on the boat, the water going to cover the earth for 150 days. Can you imagine saying, okay, 40 plus 150. Good Lord. Lord, really? Because some, again, because all we ever hear about when you hear this story, think about it, is that the 40 days. Nobody talks about those other 150. But that mm-hmm. other, that 150, that's so critical. That's all part of the plan. And oftentimes within that plan, within God's divine plan, he's throwing different pieces in there. I looked at it like this. Building a building, well, no, I'll use in language you can understand better than me. In building a car, there's some things that you're just not going to be able to build until something else gets built.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something's just not going to happen. You're not, nobody's going to put the tires on the car without putting the brakes on the doggone car first.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. So you got me excited when you brought out that options, man. I don't know if I took it somewhere else, but go ahead, bro. That thing.
No, options. No.
That's powerful. Good.
But at the same time, you know, when you talk about options, you truly can't worship God without options. Because that's when it becomes true worship. See, when you don't have an option, then you just got to do it anyway. But when options are on the table, that's when it becomes true worship. Now, what are you going to choose? Choose this. That's when it becomes true worship, when the options are on the table and you choose to stick with what God told you. So, I just think sometimes, you know, God will, like you said, the pieces are added. Those options are put on the table, but it only becomes true worship when you still do what God told you to do, or you still operate within the principles of God when the options are on the table. That's when it's true worship. When you don't have that, then you just have to go with it anyway. I'm believing God. Well, you ain't got no choice.
You ain't got no choice, huh?
Yeah. But now when the options are on the table, yeah.
You know, it kind of reminds me of the other part that was listed today. Choose the boat or choose Babylon. You know, as you said, you ain't got no choice, right?
That's right.
There's some people that don't have a choice about being in Babylon. But there's some people who do. And then even with that choice, the question is, what you going to do? I really believe that God would rather us serve him, serve mankind, before getting into Babylon than him having to take us into Babylon for the light bulb to go off.
Absolutely.
Remember, let's think about the events of last month or so. Let's just look at them. There are some people that had the opportunity, right, to put some things in place. There's people who listen to the PRF table from Houston. Now look at what happened. They don't have an option of getting something in place right now. They didn't have enough time ahead of them to put certain things in place. Baby, when that thing came, it came. The only thing they had time to do was to get out. Get out.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other part of it was you had a lot of people that didn't have the opportunity to get out. So then the question becomes, when you don't have the opportunity to give out because you're in poverty, who around you has put some things in place for you to be able to help you with your situation? I saw something it just messed my heart up this evening or this afternoon. Place we're going to be at next month, Brother Mark. Somebody there had put a Facebook post up, and it was a GoFundMe account. And I'm gonna run, try to get it real quick as I talk. But it's a GoFundMe account, and what's the brother's name? Okay, here we go. And the sad part about it was, as I read this thing, I said, hold on. What in the world is really, really going on? There was a person that actually just lost their mom and then just lost their father. And guess how I found that out? I found that out because of the GoFundMe account. And the GoFundMe account says, click here to support funeral expenses for my whoever and whoever. I mean, I don't know, but forget the names, right? And it says, no words can describe what the children must go through, putting both parents within months in the grave. Then it says, please help these three individuals. It'd be social appreciative. And it says this. They are still owing on mom's funeral, and now dad has passed as well. I can't imagine what that feels like. But if you have some compassion in your heart and you have a connection with God right now, that should say, man, good God Almighty. That just has to be the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Both parents within months. But did you hear the last line? They still owe on mom's funeral. And now dad has passed as well. See, these situations of life come up. And part of God's plan, we know PRF is part of God's plan. We know it. But these situations of life come up, where when certain things happen, you're not going to always get an opportunity to react or to respond where it's going to be beneficial for you. So the call, the clarion call is out there. It's out there. And can I tell you, this is within where I live. This is right here where I live, Mark. And the other part is, let me tell you how much money they're looking for. They're looking for $2,000. Now, today is the 28th of September. That means, and they put this up 3 days ago, which was on the 25th. Can I tell you how much money they raised in 3 days? $160.
Wow.
$160, and their father has been dead for 3 days. If what's happening on the GoFundMe account is any indication of how they'll get to that goal, it's going to be weeks before they put their father in the ground. And you have to think about it already. There's already a bill that is still being paid on. But the thing that I think about also is this, because we're talking about tragic situations that come, and whether somebody has chosen Babylon or whether Babylon has been chosen for them as a place to be. I think about how many churches are in my community. And part of me just wants to just share this on every church's Facebook page that I know in my community. But I think that will make things worse, Brother Mark. Because I already know the selfishness of a lot of churches and the pastors that lead them. But it shouldn't take anything with all the churches in this community to get that money. So that, now you got to understand, if it's a $2,000 goal, come on, y'all, what's not happening? Funeral, full funeral service. That's cremation money right there. And it goes back to something that I said earlier. When you start talking about situations that's happening, don't nobody have time for all this other stuff. They can't even grieve because they grieve and trying to get money to bury their father, which has come after having to just bury their mother. Now, Houston, watch this. Houston had a whole bunch of people coming to their aid, right?
Yes.
Florida had a whole bunch of people coming to their aid. Puerto Rico, seems like it's a whole different story, right?
Because mm-hmm.
you can't drive to Houston. You can't fill up your church van and go to Houston. I mean, go to Puerto Rico, excuse me. Mm-mm. It's a whole different situation over there. And people over there, brother, they're hurting. Because when you don't even have potable water to drink, what do you do? What do you do when you don't even have potable water to drink? Who responds? Did all of these different organizations that call themselves going so far down into the depths of their pocketbooks of church budgets, did they spend so much that now they're like, we can't do anything else? But I say this, just like that individual on that GoFundMe account, and just like with Puerto Rico, people better hear what God is saying right now. Because see, for God to allow this to happen two times on land, and then in one of those times, down in Florida, it wrecked the Keys. And now to have wrecked Puerto Rico, which is still part of the United States, you ain't got too much time to be thinking about stuff no more. I'm just telling everybody like it is. God's like, I need y'all to be responding right now. And you may not be able to respond right now to certain situations that's going on right now. Everybody can't. We understand that. But what about tomorrow? And that's how we started this show this month. What do you do the day after tomorrow? So listen, I'm going to take a break from my comments. We're going to bring Tara Sherwood, one of our long-standing host of the PRF table, and just let her just throw a, I won't say her 2 cents in. She got some 50 cent pieces she gonna throw in tonight. Shatara, good evening.
Hello, fam. Hello, can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you good.
Good evening, everybody. So, yes, this last portion that you're mentioning is near and dear to me. So I also want to, you know, remind everyone about the Virgin Islands as well. So they're small.
Mm.
That's
right.
But they're also being stated. They're also still in, you know, a very bad situation now, especially the island of Barbuda. They basically shut the island down. St. Martin as well. There's so much destruction that there's not a lot you know, they actually are evacuating the people from the island because it's inhabitable. It's not habitable at this point in time. So, you know, to me, this, these situations really, really hit home for me, as they should for everyone, because getting on the boat, you know, embracing the PRF principles, you know, extending a helping hand to your neighbor, but being prepared, being in the situation where you can extend a helping hand to your neighbor, is mm-hmm. what we strive for right now. But what happens when you, as well as your neighbor, are in the same dire straits? Like, so it can't just be a financial thing. It cannot just be a material thing. You have to be spiritually and mentally in a position where if you need to pull somebody up, you have to do that. In Puerto Rico, right when it happened, even on the other islands, while the hurricanes were still out to sea, being in the medical profession, I started thinking, what is the plan for the people who are in the hospitals now? Because if they lose power, yes, there are generators, but the generators only mm-hmm. last for so long. As well right. as the people in their homes, you know, if they lose power, if they have O2, oxygen, and they're using electrical oxygen tanks, they won't have oxygen. You also, specifically for Puerto Rico, as the time ticked on, I'm thinking, what are they doing with the people who are on dialysis? Like, that's not something that you can just blow off for a week at a time. Like, that is very serious for, you know, those who are receiving dialysis. Not to mention, you know, women who are pregnant and they don't have the potable water. They are in, you know, trapped in their little, in their villages, the little areas that are cut off from the mainland. So, I mean, just the devastation is very sobering. So, with that, I'm going to implore everyone who's listening to really sit back and take a look at, you know, what steps they're taking in their lives to make sure they're on the boat, so to speak. We can do the best we can, right, that we know to do. And even if God institutes that plan B, while we're working on plan A,
mm-hmm.
we can trust that he has us in his hand for plan B. But at the very least, we need to be planning. We need to be making steps towards at least the plan A. We need to do what we know he is calling us to do, so that whatever, when we're at our end, he can pick up and continue where we end. So there are going to be tons of calls for donations and such. I'm going to caution people to be mindful of who they're donating to, because not every agency is on the up and up, so be cautious with the donations. But most importantly, keep those that are affected by these hurricanes in prayer, because it's being downplayed on the news. And I'm not going to go too deep into that. It's being downplayed on the news, but just know that there are people who are suffering seriously presently in those places. They don't, you know, the simple things that we take for granted now, like gas, they can't even flush their toilets because their condos and everything is wired for fuel, and they don't have fuel. So,
oh, wow.
Keep them in prayer and pray and ask God to lead you. I mean, if you want to donate financially, pray about it. So you're led to donate, because unfortunately there are people who take advantage of situations like this. But please keep these people in prayer. It's a huge undertaking. So I you know, I've been to some of the other places since the hurricanes have hit to do some disaster recovery and assistance. And even in the mainland, in the shelters, you know, it is unimaginable. It is unimaginable. So if you get some people that are moving to your area, relocating, and they are affected by these, you know, extend a helping hand. That's all I'm going to say.
That's deep. We just never know. We never know. I think about, I believe it was Apostle Paul who said, when we give to those who don't have, so that when we are in need, others will give unto us. That is so true. And I'm glad, Shatara, that you mentioned that it's not just about finances. And everybody who's been around the PRF table knows that we don't talk about money all the time. That is not the, you know, this is a stewardship-based teaching ministry. So we talk about possessions, resources, and finances. And we're at a place where we have to say, what is it that we have that's going to help or benefit somebody else? And when we look at one of our foundational scriptures, which is Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, people who had gave for those who had need. And I'll say this. I know that there's one demographic in this country that spends trillions of dollars every year. I know another demographic for another group of individuals in this country that $8 billion comes through that demographic's religious institutions, i.e. the church. $8 billion a year. And so I beg for all of us who are listening and around the table tonight, when we start talking about poverty, but you hear that type of statistic coming out, we should be doing a whole lot better within just the body of Christ by itself. And a lot of people around us should be in a better position because we're in a better position. When we start talking next month or next week about insurance or God's assurance, my prayer is that people listen this one last time, because I'm certain of this, Mark. We're not going into November dealing with this. I'm already certain of that. God has us addressing this right now for a reason. And being that we understand it's all part of God's plan, God don't have to tell me what we're going to be talking about in November. He doesn't have to tell me what he's going to allow to happen in this country, in our community, in our various cities in November. Doesn't have to do it. I just want to be on his team. And this whole thing about Babylon, when you go to Jeremiah 29 and 11, as I said it before, they were in Babylon because God said way back in Numbers that they was going to be in Babylon. But remember, everybody who was in Babylon, in Babylonian captivity, remember, it was everybody 20 years and under. Everybody 20 years and younger. So you have to understand that when they got to Babylonia, when they were brought captive into Babylon, when they were brought into Babylon, you got to understand that some of them were really, really little, even babies. And they may not have had the total understanding of why this is happening. Yeah, they did some things too, but it got to go back to what God said. Your children will be taken into captivity. And that's exactly what God allowed to happen. As I said earlier on tonight's show, time is up. Time is up for any of our children to have to ask us, why didn't we put this in place? Why didn't we put that in place? There's no more excuses. And all those who are connected to PRF internally and externally, it's up to us to make sure that we are really putting this out there for folks and giving people exactly what is needed right now. While God is speaking so strong about us being prepared, it has to happen. When November comes, as I said earlier on Facebook, when November comes around, it's not going to be, they're not going to start advertising Black Friday stuff the week of Thanksgiving, right? They're going to start advertising Black Friday stuff next month. Just watch. They already have a plan for how they're going to help their own prosperity. I just hope everybody else has their plan together. And I pray that their plan, that your plan, those of you who are listening, that your plan is God's plan. At the end of the day, you're going to either choose the boat or you're going to choose Babylon. So with that, Mama, any last comments?
No, I don't have any.
Shatara. Well, we're going to end it like that. God bless y'all. We hope that this month has been enlightening. And it's been impactful in your lives, and that the Spirit of God has moved so that you realize that whatever it is that you need to do, that you get on that right path and you follow God's plan for your prosperity. If you're in a place of poverty, that you realize that God loves you enough that he doesn't want you to stay in poverty. And so we are here at the PRF Teaching Institute. We are here to help. So if you need us, please reach out to us. If you need prayer about your financial situations or situations dealing with your resources or even possessions, we have an email address that you can email those requests to and begin dialogue if you need. And it's prayer, PRAYER, at prfministry.org. And we ask you just to visit our website, prfministry.org. And also, you can reach us on Facebook. Facebook.com/PRF, or you can just look up PRF Institute. And so with that, we just want to let you know that we love you. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of your lives. And again, please join Kimberly Silas on her show tomorrow, Your Health is Your Wealth, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, God bless you. We love you. Peace.